Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning, Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning. I'm going to be your special doctor of emo today.
Emo. Oh, man. You know, there are some unspoken rules at BFM. I think one of them is that we don't play emo. But no, that's emo? Not the case this morning. We are taking a deep dive on emo.
Okay, well, I'm going to interrogate you. Now, why would that be?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's never spoken about. And I just assume that we just can't.
Unspoken role.
Yeah, I mean, emo.
Well, yeah, okay. So a couple of things. Well, I mean, there's two reasons, I guess, that it could be. One is, it became so cringy. And I think it was like even in its time.
You're right.
And like even the bands we're talking about today, All Tonight, they were emo. And I had to find proof that they were so that people wouldn't call in and say that they're not. Because they said they're not, and you know, and a band gets to say, right? But you know, the other reason is there was a huge moral panic around it in its time, that it was making kids self-harm, like, and really extreme as well.
Yes.
And so there was Christian groups and teachers and all sorts of things trying to ban it. So I'm wondering if yours is the first or the second reason.
Are we talking around in the 2000s there was moral panic
in
around
the OOs. Okay. Yeah, the OOs to the O10s. OO to 10. It was a really big worry for teens. You know, there had been a couple of actual incidents of kids, you know, where they're taking their lives or writing sad poetry, but enough to be a worry that it was the music that was causing it.
Yes. Now, I mean, would you say that emo is just an extension of goth? But just
Don't say that to goths.
No, but okay, it's kind of like when I say extension, I mean we've gone right to the other end of the spectrum and it's become cringy, like you said.
Well, so emo, here's the weird thing. It actually came from like punk hardcore scene. So it's emotional hardcore is the original thing, and it actually started like in DC in the 80s, and so yeah, it's got this weird trajectory where it ended up, it seems quite disconnected, and like you said, it appeared to be goth. Now goth, it's quite different, more bats and haunted houses and face paint, and no, they won't mind graveyards, but emo is still sad, and what they do have in common is the sadness and the eyeliner and the black hair, but they're actually kind of sort of different parents.
Yeah.
And yes, if you confuse them, you're going to get yourself in really trouble.
Oh, should we start with a song? We're going to start with My Chemical Romance?
Okay, MCR.
Okay, all right. I can't believe I'm doing this.
They're gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you. Because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs never work, they're gonna give you...
It's so pop punk.
Yes, exactly. So that's why you could hear that it is really different in goth, and it actually came from punk, which is so weird because it doesn't look punk.
Yeah.
I mean, and this album, that My Chemical Romance, you know, The Black Parade, very gothy. One thing I wanted to say is, I went to a conference in Mexico City around this time, and goths have always been super popular in Mexico. Like when you think about the Dia de los Muertos sort of vibe, and so this music was so huge with young people.
Yeah, I mean, I think these guys, correct me if I'm wrong, people, I don't know if I went to this big day out, but I think these guys played a big day out. They've definitely played some big shows in Aotearoa. Pretty popular band.
Yeah, and so, well, then here's the funny thing is, supposedly, this lineage, you know, I don't always hear it in it, but it started in this sort of punk Washington, D.C., very specific scene, and ended up being mainstream pop punk.
They did
music
play big
doesn't sound very dangerous.
Yes.
It doesn't sound very dangerous to me.
Not a lot of danger, you're right. That was kind of like a little cheesy rock break.
Yeah. So hope everyone's cutting getting their long bangs today, into their eyes. and dyeing their hair black and wearing skinny jeans and Converse. Now, the other thing is, once you do move so much into a fashion and an attitude, you move from being a music genre into a subculture.
Yeah, it definitely became a subculture, right?
Yeah, and that's the other thing it has in common with goth, is that it was a subculture. It's sort of music plus. I guess that's disturbing to people, too. You know, when you see these kids all dressing a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the moral panic, right? Everyone's like, oh, my God,
yeah.
Look at this club of children. Okay, no, here we go. My Chemical Romance did play the big day out in 2012, and I did go to that one. But I do... Oh, we've cracked into this Blink 182. Talk us through this track, Kirsten. Actually, I got to say, I'm not going to lie, I do have a little bit of a soft spot for this song because it's so funny.
See,
I knew you would.
But it's also good. They're good pop songs.
Yeah.
You know, like, I knew, like, they're terrible. You know, you think terrible, and then you hear them, you're like, yeah.
This. The angel from my nightmare. The bit where he goes, where are you? The unsuspecting. That's the best bit of the song. Of darkness in the valley. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that I like this song, Kirsten.
I know. But I think it's good.
It's my secret shame. My secret shame.
That would be a good show. But see, yeah, I'm happy you outed yourself. You shouldn't be ashamed.
Here it comes.
Oh, wasn't the big hit.
Where are you?
There you go.
The dopamine.
Yes. Where are you? Everyone's going to have that in their heads today. So, now, they actually started as a skate punk band.
Yes.
In California.
Yeah.
And by the time this came out, they had multiple albums. Like, these aren't, like, they did start as, like, high school friends bands. But I guess the marketplace knew they would find, you know, a space in the charts eventually, because they, you know, multiple albums before they hit the emo scene and small, you know, big record companies and stuff. And so this song was number one in 2004, but to make sure, because they weren't emo, right? And they would deny it, but at least found some evidence that in this album they went in an emo direction. This was the emo direction. Again, I don't hear the danger in this, but yeah, there is sadness. It is what they're calling confessional lyrics. Now, I feel like there's always been songs like this.
Yes.
But I guess because this was at the core of the genre, or... Yeah, so confessional, darkness.
We're kind of on, like, the very commercial end of the emo genre.
Mm,
yeah. What impact would you say that the commercialization had on the emo genre? Especially with the emergence of this sort of like pop punk stuff.
Well, yeah, this is always, I guess, what kills the genre, because so much, especially subculture, is about being underground.
Mm.
They're often about being anti-mainstream. And you can see how originally this was, right? We hate grown-ups. We hate teachers, you know. We don't
want to
grow
again?
Up and get jobs.
Yeah,
you know, like, it did start out as sort of being anti-mainstream society. And, you know, you see it with punk and with goth as well. You know, people get upset with Marilyn Manson and stuff, sort of where it becomes sort of, you know, commercial. And so it's hard when the whole identity is structured about being anti-mainstream and then you become mainstream. See, pop, there's no problem because they were never against it in the beginning. And so, yeah, it does kind of kill it. If it's intention. Do we have the best for last? What are we
going to, hit this AFI, which is that short for A Fire Inside?
You know what? I did not know that till last night.
I don't know.
I can't believe it was. It is.
It is?
I realized I never questioned it and I never asked.
This one's got a bit more swagger.
But this was their seventh album and it was number one. So it's such a weird story. Oh, and apparently this song, there's heaps of speculation as to what the metaphor of the meaning is. Is it Jesus? Is it Satan? Is it, you know, about taking one's life? Like, yeah, you can get in this rabbit hole.
Okay. The track's called Miss Murder?
Yes. I think there's also a particular vocal style, right? In all these tracks.
Just touching on that slightly whiny, getting into that whiny vocal.
Yes, I wasn't going to say the WH word, but you said. But it wasn't new either, right? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't new, but it still was such a thing. It's like you couldn't say it in words, but you could absolutely put your finger on it, on the vibe, on the sound, on the band, on the look, on the era, on the kids.
Now, would you say, obviously this is, emo was huge. How has emo influenced other genres and contemporary music? And what do you reckon the legacy is for emo?
Well, you know, I think because, you know, people now all grew up on this. And if you're going to get people of a certain age that, you know, have the cringe factor, but also kind of really vibed on it, especially I think the confessional lyrics. And, you know, even the look is still around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I was going to say, are you going to go get a piercing today? But, you know, that's still a vibe. You know, wearing Converse Chuck Taylors is still a vibe. You know, skinny jeans are still a vibe. I don't know if people want to do the full fringe, but, you know, eyeliner, guyliner. Still a vibe. I mean, again, it wasn't fully new when it came out either, but it definitely, everything collected, codified around this. Even though, yeah, maybe there are no emo bands, and every band that was emo will say they weren't.
I think it's still around. I think there's, you know, there is some contemporary stuff which still mines this well.
I like that. It mines it. Yeah, because they might deny it. This rocks. This rocks hard.
Is this East Coast? Are these guys out of the East Coast US? Do you know?
They're West Coast.
Oh, they are West Coast. Okay.
Sounds kind of like... How do you grow up in California and then just be afraid of the sun? I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So we're just about to wrap up this week's edition of Traveling Tunes.
Are people upset on the phone?
Nah, the phone. Do you know what? The phone has actually been ringing the whole time. Someone has got something to add. They're probably going to growl us for playing some emo. But
yeah,
hey, Kirsten, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
It's all for the sake of research.
It is.
It's for research.
Yeah, that's all. Well, here we are. We're exploring these different genres of music.
Right. Yeah,
all right,
and what they tell us about us. All right, see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.